Good morning, you're welcome to Community Matters from Portumna. We're moving on to sport now, and I'm joined in the workhouse here in Portumna by Dahi Frawley, Niall Hayes and James O'Mara. You're all very welcome here today, gentlemen. And Dahi, I'll start with you first. Take me back to your memories of Portumna. You're born and bred here.
I was born and bred, and my mother and father were both national teachers here in Gorth, or should I say in Gortanumra, which is about 5 miles away from here. Very well-known place. A lot of good people have come from Gortanumra. John Muldoon and Hayes's and Brothers and a whole variety of very good rugby and hurling individuals.
And you actually went to Garbley. Is that where the love affair with rugby started?
I was 5 foot nothing and tubby. And I was good for nothing else. So they stuck me on the hurling team as full back for about 5 years. But I learned my rugby in Garbally and never got on a senior team. But when I went to UCG, it blossomed from there. I went on the junior rugby team in UCG and soldiered there for 5 years and met a fantastic number of friends from all over the country.
Yeah, and this was during the ban.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up.
I bet you are.
Because I went to Garbally, which was a diocesan secondary school for boys, we were somehow exempt from the ban. Now, there are lots of people, including my friends here on the right, who would not even remember what the ban was. So, for the people who are younger than I am, the ban was anybody who played a foreign game was exempt or was disqualified from playing either hurling or football.
Mm-hmm. Did you abide by the ban?
I did when I was in Garbally because I was exempt. I played hurling here for Portumna for years and all the time I was in Garbally. But once I went to UCG, it became a problem. In that I was playing every week for UCG Rugby Club, but my best friend was captain of the Fitzgibbon team, and I ended up playing 2 years under a non-diplome in UCG. And I had my photograph taken at the back always, where nobody could prove that I was tugged out, so therefore I escaped getting, or the UCG team, the whole team would have been banned in those days for having an illegal player on the side. So I went and contacted UCG only about 5 years ago to know, was there any record of I having hurled for UCG played Fitzgibbon for 2 years? Zero. Nil. I did not exist.
Not a port or anything.
Exist for 5 years in UCG.
Now, you actually left Portumna because work brought you up to Raphoe.
I left straight from UCG to my first teaching job in Raphoe in County Donegal, just on the border. And my very first week teaching, my lovely boss from Wexford, the headmaster, came to tell me there were a couple of men downstairs wanting to meet me. Well, wouldn't tell me who they were, and it transpired there were two of the committee from UCG Rugby Club. Would I play rugby for Strabane? I said, would I? Please. So I played rugby for Strabane for 5 years, and we played in the Northwest League. And during that time, Derry wanted to go senior, Derry Rugby Club. And they were allowed to take players from all the junior clubs around. So I had the distinction of playing for Derry as well as Strabane for a year. Wow. Ken Goodall was playing at that time for Derry, who went on to become an Irish international and then broke ranks and went rugby league, which was made history in Ireland at the time. But anyway, I had a great 5 years for Strabane and had the distinction of having played for Connacht Juniors in UCG, I have now played Ulster Juniors against Connacht in the sports ground.
I'd say that made you a very popular man.
Very popular man.
But you actually came back because your job and teaching brought you back here, and the teaching landscape in Portumna has changed over the years.
Having been a co-ed Church of Ireland school in Raphoe, I came back here to the convent, mainly due to my mother plaguing the nuns for 5 years I was gone. And I was allowed to pick my subjects.
Mm. What did you pick?
Well, I did a BCom, so I did all accounting and business organisation and commerce generally.
Mm. And I suppose a lot of famous pupils have gone on to great things in rugby. You mentioned one of them, John Muldoon, but I know you actually were nominated and became the president of the Connacht branch in the early noughties.
Yes, when I came to Portumna, my good friend Tony McNamara was introducing rugby to the school at that time. And when I came, Tony went and took the senior hurling side. And I took on the rugby, and I more or less continued on the rugby from where he had started. And I have to say that thanks to the Connacht branch, particularly Jerry Kelly, who was CEO, and John Power as on treasurer, they gave me every support for 5 or 6 years. And so much so that I remember one of the first games we played was against the Bish down here in Portumna, very early on. And we had 2 rugby balls, and the Bish went back, and I was missing a ball. I am not accusing the Bishop of taking the ball with him. But I put a notice up on a tree down in the main street, wanted 1 rugby ball. And the Bank of Ireland sponsored a rugby ball. So we went from that to Jerry Kelly and the Tommy Keneally as a development officer, who swamped me with all kinds of equipment for 10, 15 years and sent down their development officers to help me out with the training, and we became the turning point was Eddie O'Sullivan, who later became Irish coach, was a development officer at that time, and he came down and spent a weekend with me in my house, and we started up what was called the Development League, which involved the non-rugby playing schools in Connacht.
Mm.
And over 2 or 3 years, we went from 0 to about 20 schools, including Craigs, Marist Athlone, Marist Sligo, Connemara, Athenry Vocational School, Gort. And as a result, we had our own development league and we had a match every week.
Mm.
A competitive game, and as a result of that we became on a par with hurling in the school, and we became a rugby school as well, so which was great.
Mm. I know you have very fond memories of your time playing with Galwegians, and you won everything.
We won 4 kind of cups on the trot.
Wow.
In the 70s, which was a fantastic time. But we had a fantastic team. But unfortunately, about 5 or 6 of us all left at the one time. And I don't think any club can get over that. But we had a great team.
And what's life like for you now, Dahi? I know you're living in the homestead and you're playing a bit of golf. And you have grandkids keeping you busy?
At this stage, I have 3 grandkids. I've gone from having a dog on my phone to 3 grandchildren in the last 3 years, and it's a whole new life, a whole new experience. And I would highly recommend it to these lads sitting beside me here.
Well, I think they have another while to go for the grandkids, Dahi, but thanks for joining us, Dahi. We're moving on now. Beat that if you can, Niall Hayes. Niall, good morning. You're very involved with Al Hayes Motors, obviously, here in town. But talk to me about the hurling. We were speaking earlier on with Eugene McEntee. It was a great run you had in the noughties.
Yeah, good morning, John, and thank you for having me. First off, I'll just say that Dahi used to teach me in school, like, and he always gave us great advice. So thanks for that one about the grandchildren. I'll make sure to note it. Yes, the hurling club here in Portumna, it's very important. Like, you know, in my belief, it's the same as every other club in the country, in the sense that the hurling club is the actual heart of our community. Like, you know, it brings everyone together. Like, you know, we predominantly play hurling camogie here. We love our sport. We're very passionate about it. We've been very lucky to produce one or two guys that's been reasonably good at it. We field teams here from under five all the way up to adults in both games. We're very proud of what we do. The club itself then, as far as I'm concerned, it offers so much more to the community, in the sense that there's a meeting point. It's a place of great fun, a place of great crack. On building on that, what we have then is shared experiences. We have common goals, and what the club offers us, I think, is a great level of satisfaction, a great level of loyalty, a great level of identity, and a great level of pride.
You've had some savage players coming through the club over the years.
Yes, I suppose I was the best one. James, you're supposed to back me up.
I would say that also. Hope
Damien's
that
is true. Yes, we've been very fortunate. Like, you know, we had brilliant players that came through. Like, you know, like
someone called Joe Canning.
Yeah, that guy was pretty good. Yeah. I remember, like you're there and you're doing your job in the field and you're doing what you want to do. Like, you know, and you're helping out. And next thing, Joe does something amazing, or Ollie does something amazing, or Damien does something amazing, like, and it was brilliant, like, you know. And there's so many more on the team that were just brilliant people, like, do you know what I mean? They were brilliant leaders, and they were exceptional characters. Mm. Like, you know, I think, I often listen to Roy Keane, he talks about people in the dressing room, but, like, we really had people in the dressing room, like, you know, and it would bring a smile to everyone's heart, our face, like, and one of the best parts was, like, you know, regardless how difficult or how testing or how challenging training was, you're guaranteed that once you get back inside, the laughter, the fun, the camaraderie, and the bond was always there, like, you know.
Yeah, and in terms of the homecomings, that's what I'm interested in. What can you tell us about them, or what were they like?
So I spoke to someone yesterday. I suppose the standout memory for me, when it comes to homecomings and events, would have been the 06 All-Ireland. Mm. So for any club hurler, I believe winning Club All-Ireland is your Everest. And for us to scale Everest and to achieve that was something amazing and something very, very special. Like, you know, I remember distinctly the build-up to that match. Like, you know, I remember the town with its vibrant colours, the flags, the buntings, the signs. I remember the nerves, I remember the excitement. I remember we were playing Cork and we were playing Newtown Shandrum, and they had Ben and Jerry and two iconic players, and they had this exciting brand of hurling and how we could have managed that. Like, and then I remember on the actual day itself, the day was extremely cold, and it was reported that it was colder in Portumna that, or in Croke Park that day, than it was in Moscow. But wow, none of that made a difference, because we were men with a mission to do. And the nice thing about it was, it wasn't just for ourselves, like, it was for the parish, it was for everybody. Everyone was involved, like, you know. Mm. And we, that didn't go unnoticed on us, like, you know, and we used to speak about it. And I remember at half time, we actually mentioned it, like, you know, how can we go home to Portumna without the cup? And the answer was, we couldn't, like, you know. Mm. So then we decided we'd win the cup, and we came home, and sure, and tonight the celebrations, it's memories that last a lifetime, like, you know. Mm. And neighbouring parishes, James reminded me here that Laura welcomed us in and was very kind in him, so it was.
It was the only time we ever did it. Yeah.
But it's amazing to see how the club has continued to be successful.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So when you have these opportunities, you have to build on them, like, you know. So that was 2006, like, we went on, we won three extras. That's four Club All-Irelands, like, you know. And it's funny that ourselves and Burr have four All-Irelands, and there's not, like, 20 minutes between the two places. Mm. But we've built on that, We obviously focus a lot on the underage, the juveniles. I reckon that's where you have to spend the time. That's where you have to put in the work. And like, I believe, like, you know, for the future, like, you know, hopefully a lot more green shoots will start coming through and a lot more success and stuff.
And you're very modest as well. What was it like when you hit the back of the net in that All-Ireland final?
Well, obviously, it was the greatest goal I ever saw. And I was just deciding which celebration dance would I do first.
Yeah.
But I suppose one of the first things that hit me was just pure relief.
Thank God it went in.
Yeah, thank God it went in. But it was funny. I believed I was going to get a chance in that game. I believed it was coming. I knew it was coming. And when I scored the goal, it was an incredible feeling and something I'll remember forever. Like,
fair play to you, Niall. We're also joined here in the workhouse by James O'Mara of the Golf Club. And James, there's been a lot of development in the Golf Club over the past few years.
Yeah, look, at John, we've had a big investment. We've come up with a kind of a five-year strategy, and that has involved both on and off the course. So we've kind of carried out some major works, sanding programs. We've completed two new greens, the 3rd and the 18th. We've bought quite a lot of capital equipment, lawnmowers, etc. And then on the inside, we've refurbished our dressing rooms and introduced a new shop where we sell the Portumna branded merchandise, which features the deer. Portumna has been synonymous with the deer, I suppose, even going back to its original founding back in 1912. There's always been deer on the course, and it's linked with Portumna. On the marketing side, we've rebranded and we've created new logos, and we've certainly promoted the club a little bit better than what it would have been in the past. So yes, we've done a lot of work.
Mm. And you're from the good side of the parish, are you?
I'm from the best side, exactly. I'm from over the bridge, and they do let me in from time to time. So, but anyway,
when they have work for you to do, but there's been a lot of great golfers from your club.
Yeah, we've had you know, well, firstly I must mention the teams, because Portumna teams, both ladies and men's, have tended to push above their weight in winning national titles. One of our ladies, Suzanne Corcoran, has represented Ireland on teams at senior and is a very successful golfer. We currently have Sam Murphy, who is one of our up-and-coming golfers. And last year, he won the Connacht Stroke Play, which was actually, ironically, here in Portumna as well. And he's currently on scholarship in Arizona. Mm. But in the past, we've had people like Pádraig O'Rourke, Shane Ryan, and our current professional, Shane Franklin. So, yes, we've had successes there for sure.
And finally, James, it is one of the most pristine golf clubs around, really.
Yeah, and that doesn't come overnight. And it's certainly great credit to the people who look after the course, particularly Kenneth Kelly and his hard-working ground staff. It's a fantastic course, and anybody that comes to play it will know it's been regarded as a hidden gem, and it's you know, it's up there. We were successful recently. We were voted in the top 40, top 50 golf courses in Ireland. We came in as the top 15 in the parkland courses. So yes, we're trying to invest for the future. And it's just mentioned in the past, we've had a lot of hard-working committees. It's been very hard work. And the current committee that I'm on has the betterment of the golf course. And the objective is to keep that going and invest further.
Mm. And Niall, are you looking for free membership? What's going on here?
Yeah, absolutely. No, actually, what I'd like to do, if it's okay, John, is I'd like to make one shout-out and one plug, if that's okay. So a shout-out to all the Portumna under 15 hurlers. They're a great bunch of guys. They're great fun, and we have great time for them, right? And I'd like to make a plug then for Portumna GA Club, that the Portumna GAA Club Golf Classic is on from the 23rd to 25th in Portumna Golf Course. If anyone wants to get involved or get to play or get involved in sponsorship, to contact Portumna Golf Course or any officer of Portumna GAA Club.
You might have a career in that, I think, Niall. Niall Hayes and James O'Mara and Dahi Fry, thank you all for joining us on the sports section here from the Workhouse in Portumna. We're coming back and we have live music with Sabrina Fallon. Good morning.
Galway talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Drive happy in Windsor Motor Mall, Galway, with hundreds of used cars to suit your budget.
The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission na Meán.
You're welcome back to Community Matters from the Workhouse here in Port Tumna, and I'm joined by Sabrina Fallon and an eclectic mix of guests. Sabrina, good morning. How are you keeping?
I'm very good, John. Thank you for having me here today.
And we'll talk a bit the far side of the music, but who's with you today playing music?
Okay, so we'll start from the left. We have the very talented Bobby.
Oh, I know him.
Bobby come by. Yeah, you know him. Bobby's part of the furniture here at Galway Bay, isn't he? He comes from a multi-talented family, the come by brothers and all, yeah. And we have the gorgeous Noreen Ryan down here from Tradstone. Fantastic musician as well, yeah. So.
And what are you going to play for us to get us going?
We are going to sing. We thought about it and, you know, Country Roads Take Me Home, because we're all home in our hearts here today. So it's lovely.
In your own time, guys.
Thanks.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountain, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze.
Well done. Sabrina, that was absolutely brilliant. I said I better not join in because I'd never stop if I did. But beautiful singing and beautiful music to all involved there. But there's great musical talent here in Port Tumna.
There is so much, John. There really is. It's saturated. It really is. There's fantastic bands to the left of me here, all included. And, you know, Tradstone, Big Generator, Colin Fahey, the 80s band. The list goes on. There's huge, you know, and my own dad included there, Patsy Fallon. Mikey Fallon, fantastic songwriter and uncle of mine, and Jerry Fallon, a great poet. There's loads, and I'm being a bit biased there at my family, I know, but there's... And if I missed anyone, and I know I did, I'm sorry, but...
Well, they were asking for one of your family earlier on, Mike Denver. Is he gone to the boss, or where is he this weekend, do you know?
I think he's gone to the bog. I'm only joking, he's a big weekend up in Donegal, John, so they're all headed up there, yeah, to get ready for that. I'm only joking, Mike.
You grew up here, Sabrina, and you were immersed in the show bands, and there's a huge... some of the legacies in front of us this morning.
Yeah, I did grow up. Yeah, I grew up with music playing in every room of the house. Really, it was a beautiful chaos. There'd be drums, loads of drums. My brothers are drummers, and guitar players and musicians, and my daddy was a drummer all his life, played with the show bands and some of the greats, the Mighty Avon's band, and I know Larry Cunningham was in the house one night having sandwiches and tea, and so I grew up around it, like, and I was saturated in it, and I don't know a life without music, I really don't, so yeah, I'm grateful for that.
And country music, a big part of it as well. I know your brother Jason was involved with Joe Dolan.
He was, yeah, he was drumming with Joe for years. He played with Louise Morrissey and I think Jimmy Buckley, I don't know if I'm right in saying that as well. He's played around. And he was with Joe for years, of course. That was a great honour. Like, you know, Joe is one of the greats. And he's out on his own now for years singing as well, yeah. And my brother Jonathan is with Hot Fuss as well, a local band here as well. So they're all, you're heavily involved, yeah.
And you've been out in Nashville in the past few months. How's the music going currently for you?
Good, yeah. I was in Nashville, fell in love with the place. Yeah, I'd heard lots about it. And imagine, I lived in San Francisco for years, but I never got to go to Nashville. So Nashville blew my mind, and I came back and recorded Rocky Top then, because it was just real, that hillbilly country vibe. Like, loved it, yeah.
Brilliant. And in terms of the other bits keeping you busy, I know we had you on a few weeks ago with the Bumblebee Jexy, but you're teaching in Moycullen as well?
I am, yeah. Oh, a big shout out to the girls in Moycullen there. We have an exhibition next Friday. I'm very proud of the girls. They're going to exhibit their work, their end of the year textile exhibition, yeah. So a big hello to all the beautiful ladies down there running it as well. They're ladies, yeah.
I know your mom is a real legend of Portumna on her bike.
She is, Jessica Fletcher, yeah, with her flowers, yeah. Hello, Mammy. She's tuned in. She's been very humble today. She said, she'll tune in. Yeah, yeah, she's a bit embarrassed.
And Dad, he's recorded a bit of his own music as well.
Daddy has, yeah. He started to sing. He's always sang. We grew up listening to Daddy singing as he was shaving or washing and googling the fire in the morning time. We'd always hear Daddy blow out a gorgeous song. He's particularly good at the green green grass at home. Who sings the green green grass? The name has gone from my mind. What's his name? Yes, they'll all come to see me. Oh my God, Tom Jones.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
So he was brilliant at singing Tom Jones songs, and he recorded his first song at 65. He didn't tell any of us.
Wow.
It was a big surprise, Mum and Dad. Wayne was telling me, actually, Wayne Therose, he's a recording gentleman he plays with Robert Mazzella, he's in Ballyforn, and he said that one day he was in the middle of his dinner and a man knocked at the door, and he opened the door and he had a big white cowboy hat on him and a white jacket, and he said, I want to record a song. That was my dad. So they surprised us and put it on the radio. It was lovely.
Well, it was great to have you, Sabrina. I believe you're not based here anymore, but you come back to Portumna regularly.
I live in Oranmore at the moment, but Portumna is my home. It's home in my heart. I come down regularly, yeah.
Brilliant. Sabrina Fallon and crew, thanks for the lovely music, and thank you for joining us on Community Matters.
Thanks yourself, John, and thanks everyone. Thanks.
Still to come on the programme today, before 12 o'clock, we'll be joined by Adrian Hoare, Mark O'Reilly and many more guests. Good morning.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motor Mall. Visit Windsor Motor Mall Galway and get free 3-year warranty on hundreds of used cars.
The Community Matters series is brought to you by Galway Bay FM and is funded by Commission Mignon.
You're welcome back to the Workhouse here in Portumna for Community Matters. I'm joined across me now by Phil Coleman of Physical Impairment Ireland. We have Adrian Hoare, a local publican, and Mark O'Reilly from Hot Fuss. Not Hot Foot, as I've been saying. I put my foot in it all morning. But anyways, Phil, to you first. Good morning. Talk to us about Physical Impairment Ireland and the work you're doing here in the Portumna town area.
Well, the work we're doing here is sort of at a standstill, because for years I and my daughter-in-law and her husband, my son, we're trying to get stuff done in relation to getting crossroads and getting cars off footpaths and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's not happening. There's nobody enforcing it. And my daughter-in-law was crossing the path up at the tennis club one day. And in her pure anxiety to get across to the other side, she fell out of her wheelchair between the path and the road. Only the neighbours, the people who owned the house in front of her, saw her dilemma, thank God, and came out and assisted her. Mm-hmm. Now, that really shook her up. She's trying to live an independent life where she won't always have to have somebody with her, like we all do. She's a citizen of the state, and so are all disability people. And disability people everywhere, not just this town, but people are very remiss of disability people, and they don't see maybe a prostate leg or a prostate arm.
Yeah.
And we are not considerate enough.
Since you have linked up with Physical Impairment Ireland, how has that empowered your daughter and yourself?
Well, it's a funny thing that now, because Susan said to me the week, a couple of days after that first meeting last Friday week, she said, "Phil, for the first time since this happened to me, I feel I can fit in. I have a group that fit in.
Wow.
I can fit into. And they understand me and I understand them."
Mm.
And they do a Zoom meeting every Monday night. Sometimes they don't all be at it at the one time. Mm. But if there's any issues they need to discuss, Peter Gohary discusses it. Mm. And he pushes maybe to the point of some people thinking he was confrontational. But he knows that every disability person has to push or they won't be heard.
Mm. In terms of the improvements you'd like to see locally here in Port Tumna, what are the main things you'd like to see changed to make it more accessible for people with disabilities?
Well, there needs to be pedestrian crossings,
yeah,
which we were told some years ago, would be ring-fenced, that there was money ring-fenced for it.
Mm.
Ring-fenced for it were the words that were used.
Yeah.
And yet that hasn't come to pass.
Okay.
And at that first meeting in Port Tumna Town of the disability people and other people, able-bodied people as well, were there. Kieran Mullooly of RTE Broadcasting, he was there.
Okay. Perfect. We'll do more on it, because I'd like to come out again and maybe walk around with you and your daughter. And
we'll
do a bit more on it. I'll come back to you in a few more weeks on that. But Phil, thank you for joining us on Community Matters. We're also joined here today by Adrian Hoare and Mark O'Reilly. You're both very welcome on. And Adrian, I'll start with you first. You're a publican locally. What's the trade like at present?
It's a tough trade to be in now. The pub trade and the pub scene has changed so much in the last, I suppose, 10 or 12 years between COVID hitting and everything. It is tough. It's not, it's a different lifestyle that people, I suppose, sons of publicans won't take over their family pub anymore, because there's just nothing to be gained in it. It's a weekend trade. Midweek, you have your regulars every morning, every afternoon, every evening, and they keep the bills paid. I suppose we're lucky in a sense in Port Tumna, it's very loyal. The customer base in Port Tumna is very loyal. There's only three pubs left in Port Tumna. I believe about 15, 20 years ago, it was up to towards 20 pubs in Port Tumna, all doing well.
And is there much slagging going on? Because I know you're from Birr.
I'm from Crinkle, actually, which is a small little village outside of Birr. Yeah, I suppose I'm like a small man done good. I took a job over in Port Tumna about 22 years ago in O'Mara's Bar and Restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It was only ever going to be a stopgap for me. I was only young, and then I was there probably 3 or 4 months, and I suppose I was getting sick of being told what to do. So I went to Donny O'Mara, who owned the business, and asked him to promote me to bar manager. So so he gave me the bar manager's role, and like that then I lost my heart to a Galway girl who was a waitress in the bar and restaurant every weekend. She was studying teaching in GMIT, and I kind of cracked onto her then as she was coming in every weekend, and we got together in the Western Paris in our Crony, believe it or not.
Wow.
For a Christmas party. And yeah, so we've been married since.
And the business is called The Boathouse, and it's a beautiful marina that you're looking upon.
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of the first stop when you come up from Emerald Star, up from the Shannon. As a tourist, the first pub you see is The Boathouse, and it is linked with the water. So we get a lot of tourists, we get a lot of visitors in town. Like the town, your guests earlier on has spoken about all the amenities in town, between the marina, the golf club, the forest park. We have everything that towns in this country would love to have.
Mm.
We literally have everything. We've solid businesses, we've restaurants, coffee shops, bars, good community, community people as well, between the tidy towns, all the local groups that maintain it. We'll say that just as specific to the tidy towns, the work they do during the summer is unbelievable. You know, you've lovely flower pots, you have biodiversity gardens, you have everything, and they work hard, you know. Even, we say it's 7 o'clock in the evening when people are at home having their dinner, you know, you have two local people, PJ and Mary Lynch, who come out and water all the flower pots, the hanging baskets all over the town, which is a fierce commitment to do every day for the whole of the summer.
We're also joined by Mark O'Reilly. Mark, apologies for getting your band name wrong all morning. Hot Fuss, where did that name come from?
Hot Fuss, it came from an album actually from The Killers that they had in 2005. Yes. So it was a popular thing to do at the time, was to call a band name after a very popular album. So it came from The Killers album, yep.
And talk to me about music in Portumna, because there's a lot of legends from here and you grew up with a lot of them.
Yeah, oh, Portumna's a fantastic town for music, and so many people in the town involved in music. Like, it would have started for me back in the early days when Willie Carty from The Conquerors took me to my first gig in O'Sullivan's in Gort. Mm. And I suppose I was only like maybe 10 or 12 at the time, and he brought me and his son Graham to the gig, and I suppose from there I got hooked, and The Conquerors were just an amazing band, and still are to this very day. You know, I think they're 50 years going now. And then you had bands like Big Generator in Portumna, and they hugely influenced us. And Portumna was just a great town for very successful bands. And then, you know, you had like some Mike that came along, and loads of artists. You see Tradstone there and Nori and all those people. So the town is just full of music, but full of fantastic musicians as well too.
And you can confirm that Mike Denver was country from day dot.
Oh, day dot, yeah, because we were kids, we were cycling around on our bicycles, and we were mad into Guns N' Roses and Bon Jovi and all what was popular at the time, all the big rock songs. And we'd be on our bicycles, and Mike would be coming behind, and he'd be singing a Garth Brooks song or a Johnny Cash song. So he's an original country artist. Loved country from day one, as long as I know him.
Yeah. And I know you've been busy with the music scene, and tell me about Higher and Higher.
Higher and Higher, it's a cover that we did from the original artist, Jackie Wilson, that did it. So we recorded that there recently, just a song with great bit of life and a great message in it, and to keep people happy and keep people higher, and, you know, just a lovely song to do, so we decided to do it, yeah.
And it's one thing I've noticed on the show today, but everyone here in the town seems to be obsessed with two things, music and sport, and you're heading to the Olympics yourself.
Yeah, so that's a funny one, yeah, because Portumna is a huge sporting town as well too. So we were lucky enough to be drawn by the Irish Olympic team. They had a choice of bands to send over. There's 18 nights in the Irish village in Paris, and so we're doing the first three nights. So we're flying out there on the 27th of July, and we're doing the first three nights. And there's other bands, I think Mundy might be on the list, and the Tumbling Paddies and a few of those. So we're doing the first three nights in the Irish village for all the fans and all the supporters that are there. So really looking forward to that.
Well, the very best of luck with it. Are they going to make a fussy out there?
Well, hopefully they will, yeah. And hopefully we don't put our foot in it when we're out there.
And hopefully it'll be hot as well in Paris as well. Mark O'Reilly and Adrian Hoare, thank you both for joining us on Community Matters. And thanks too to Phil Coleman. I look forward to meeting up with her and the crew in Physical Impairment Ireland a little later on in the summer as well. But that's it from Community Matters from Portumna. My thanks to all the crew here in the Irish Workhouse Centre who really let us in here this morning. It's a beautiful building, a great place to broadcast from, and lots of people passing in and out and saying hello to us. So thanks to them for hosting us. Thanks to Donal O'Sullivan, our engineer out here, for setting up and looking after us. Thanks to Doc back at base, who made sure we broadcast across to all the corners of Galway this morning. And thanks to Sean O'Milkieron, who was my social media manager and bodyguard and everything else this morning. And it was badly needed, I must say. But that's where we're going to make our leave from the programme today. My thanks to all who took part and sent in lovely comments. Portumna, it really is a beautiful place. And if you want to go somewhere for a little day trip, you could do worse than coming down here and coming to the town and to the workhouse and the castle. Well, that's where we make our leave for the programme from today. Up next is Ronan Larden with the Live Wire. And on Monday morning, I can tell you, it's already a very busy programme. And our Galway great is the great Ollie Jennings. So we're going to have a lot of music on Galway greats this Monday. From all of us here, have a very good afternoon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Galway Talks in association with Windsor Motormall. Find hundreds of used cars to suit your budget in Windsor Motormall Galway, located on the Monavay Road.